This morning, an extended interview with a paedophile hunter who used the pseudonym James J. O'Neill. The BBC's Kevin McGee has named his real identity as George Keenan. Kevin confronted paedophile hunter George Keenan at his home to ask what right he has to go after alleged paedophiles.
Kevin McGee, BBC News. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if I could, Mr. Keenan, about your role as a self-appointed paedophile hunter. Are you a vigilante?
Are you serious? Get out of my sight. Leave me alone. Stay away from anybody. Anybody that I have previously worked with. You are harassing people.
Why don't
now
you answer
brought
the
these
questions?
These two individuals are your backup.
Why don't you answer the questions?
I'm asking you a question. I am not here. I am not here to answer your questions.
Why don't you
You're
tell
absolutely
me
disgusting.
About your activities
no,
as a self-appointed paedophile hunter?
No, I will not speak to you. Your conduct does not deserve me to talk to you.
Then, last week, a further twist to this story. There was dramatic footage last week after footage emerged of Kevin being surrounded by a group of paedophile hunters in Belfast. Kevin had been lured to a location under false pretences and was surrounded and followed by a group of paedophile hunters. They got into his face. They screamed at him. When he got into a car to try to leave the scene, one paedophile hunter sat in the middle of the road so that the car could not drive off. The recording was posted on social media. Let's have a listen to some of what it shows.
How does it feel to be confronted by a bunch of... Don't you take your hands off me. How does it feel to be confronted? No, stop touching myself.
Excuse me.
You don't like this, Kevin, do you? Kevin,
right, at this stage,
it's not good, is it? This is the closest you will get. This is the closest. You do not touch me. This is the closest you will get to any of these groups. Do you understand? You came here tonight thinking you were going to get stuff on me. You better watch your mouth. No. Do you know what you call this? Do you know what you call this? This is what you call power. No, this is what you don't like. You do not like. Get your hands off me. You do not like this, Kevin, do you? This is what you stressed me out this morning in my family f***ing home. You don't f***ing like it, do you? Get out of my sight.
You can see Kevin's exclusive report on BBC Newsline tonight at 6:30. When we covered this story last week, the paedophile hunter George Keenan, that's the man who you just heard in that clip, who led the group that confronted Kevin McGee, he contacted The Nolan Show. And I want you to hear this. Some of you support these people rather than the police. I want you to listen to this and decide for yourself whether that's the right thing to do. I began the interview by asking Mr. Keenan why he did not use his real name when posting on social media. One of that group...
George, and that was broadcast live to all of my followers on Facebook. The alias is gone. In regards to what's... I'll let you ask the question, but I think that's probably the best way to go forward on it.
Why did you treat Kevin McGee in the way you did? I watched the footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know there's a complaints process within the BBC if you're unhappy about anything. Why, in your own words, did you gather as many men as possible and surround Kevin in such an intimidatory way?
Okay. Kevin McGee got in contact with myself coming up, say, 2.5 weeks ago now. 2.5 weeks ago, when he got in contact with me, I went and I met this man in West Belfast, and I had a coffee with him, and I was sitting there for 2 hours. He tried his best to get as much information out of me as he could on any other hunter and their location, and I never give that up. He then, therefore, I got a phone call to inform me from a former colleague of mine that I used to work with in Silent Justice, that he showed up at this lady's home at around about this time in the morning, just after 10 o'clock. Now, little did I know, now, when I find that out, I phoned him in the interim, and I said to him, if you ever come near my home, I'll make sure you regret it.
So when you have said to him, if he ever goes near your house, he will regret it.
Yes.
What are you suggesting?
Well, let me put it this way, Stephen. I've stood in front of many a dangerous man who are very, very psychologically in tune, very sharply spoken. And if Kevin McGee thinks that I'm stupid enough to dare to let him do that and come to my house and for him to get away with it, he's another thing coming. He's learned that yesterday morning.
What do you mean, him get away with it?
Well,
are you threatening him?
No. I turned the tables on him. I went live on him.
But when you say you will regret it, what do you mean?
I will destroy his reputation.
Well, that's not fair or indeed lawful. That's not lawful.
Okay, 1 minute.
He's a respected journalist.
You're very selective, Stephen. I'll give you that. You're very selective, and your producers have not let me live on this show. And you know why, Stephen. I have been attempted to talk to you for so long.
You are talking to me.
Oh, I want to record a conversation, Stephen, isn't that right?
Correct.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Well, that
because
is...
Because you know the truth behind it.
It would be standard practice. Just, again, let's walk through this because we're in no rush.
No, Stephen.
And we need to stay calm during this, don't we?
The first video, 1 minute, 1 second into the first video of yesterday morning, the precise words that comes out of your BBC colleague was precisely this. I'm here to try to make you accountable.
That's his job. He is an investigative journalist.
Wait a minute. Whoa. He is in breach of Section 4 of the BBC editorial guidelines. What crime have I committed?
When you say...
No, you're avoiding questions.
Well, listen, you don't need to shout at me today.
Well, Stephen,
we're having a conversation, so calm down and let's have a conversation.
He is in breach of your editorial guidelines.
Well, can I speak to you?
I have got evidence of him there, and you clearly avoided that.
Okay, and anybody who has a concern that any journalist, including myself, has breached the guidelines, there is a process. You write to the BBC. The BBC then has robust processes in place to ensure that your complaint is taken seriously. But what you did was you surrounded him.
Oh, no.
We saw your footage. You surrounded him. When he got up to walk away, you went right up into his face.
No, Stephen, did you see the video yesterday morning? I saw
the video that you recorded, that you put out on Facebook, in which you, rather than writing a letter of complaint, you decided to surround him.
No,
do you support an individual sitting in front of a car when he's trying to drive away?
No, wait a minute, Stephen.
Is that lawful?
Right, I'll go into the personal end of it. Kevin McGee knows I have full custody of my two children. I'm a passionate father. I conducted myself in a matter where I have never been arrested in any of these things. Now, here's the ironic thing. I'm not a paedophile hunter anymore, Stephen.
You're not?
Stephen, come on.
Well,
Stephen, I'm the original paedophile hunter within Northern Ireland, and you don't know what I do now. Well, I work on safe.
Okay, can I ask you just to stay calm?
You see this acting stupid thing?
I'm not acting stupid. I'm just trying to give you a chance to rationally explain to me how you feel. But shouting at me isn't going to achieve that. Now, the reason that I'm confused when you say that you're not a paedophile hunter anymore.
I'm not.
Tell me whose voice this is from your video last night.
Of course.
This is every team possible I could get my hands on, and I thank the every single f***ing one. Predator Catchers NI, Justice Reborn, Justice just got f***ing served.
Is that you?
Oh, you better believe it.
So,
now, do you know what you
Predators,
call
Predators Catchers NI, Justice just got effing served?
Yeah.
So you can understand my confusion then as to how you positioned yourself last night, and now you're telling me that you've left that group long ago.
Now, your reporter was fully aware that I'm not a paedophile hunter.
Sorry, no, I'm not talking about Kevin. I'm talking about me here.
No, right.
So how did what you just said on that video not position you as being part of that paedophile hunters group?
Oh, God, I'll go into it. Are you deaf and blind?
When you shout, Hunters NI, Justice just got effing served, that's saying that you're part of it. and that you're bestowing your type of justice.
Okay, right, I'll talk this maybe so I can get through. I am the original paedophile hunter based in Northern Ireland. Now, every single member of the press constantly comes to me for my opinion of what has been happening since I stopped. Since the minute that I stopped, what does James O'Neill think of this? What's his opinion? I've been on the Claire Burns show. I've tried to get on your one.
Why did you shout Hunters NI if you're not part of that group?
I shouted every paedophile hunter group wanted to back me up because they seen what this man was trying to do to me and my personal life.
You also shouted Hunters NI, justice just got served. You know that is describing yourself as part of that group.
Do you want to play it back?
Yeah, let's play it again. Of course.
This is every team possible I could get my hands on, and I thank the every single one. Predator Catchers NI, Justice Reborn, Justice just got served.
Predator Catchers NI, they wanted to back me up. They wanted to inject the fear that this man injected into me when I was on my own in my home.
Inject fear. So that was your purpose last night, to inject fear. And you describe yourself as a law-abiding citizen. You have just said a very important statement. You've said that the purpose of you approaching Kevin McGee was to instill fear. That is a criminal act.
No, he done exactly the same to me yesterday.
You are not allowed to approach someone in order to instill fear. That is a criminal offence. Do you understand that?
And instilling fear into me and my family. So, what the fuck gives him the right, Stephen?
So what an investigative journalist does as part of their job is that they approach people with a list of questions. Let me give you the NUJ's reaction.
No.
To what you've done.
Breach the code of conduct, is that what they do?
This is the National Union of Journalists who have said the following.
Now, Section 4 of your guidelines. Look at it and you look at the video and you tell me he hasn't breached your conduct.
And it wouldn't be for me to determine. All I'm saying to you is, surely there is a civilised way of you addressing a complaint to the BBC rather than surrounding one individual in order to, in your words, instil fear. Now, let me read to you. I want to read to you the NUJ statement. The NUJ have told the Nolan Show the following. BBC Northern Ireland journalist Kevin McGee is a journalist of the highest integrity. He was abused and intimidated while carrying out a legitimate news investigation in the public interest.
Really?
No group is above the law, and there is no place in a democratic society for vigilante groups, regardless of their motives.
Is someone to commit something illegal. I'm not. If that was the case, I would have been arrested.
Well, you went there to instill fear. Your words.
No. He struck first, Stephen.
This attack is an attack on media freedom, says the NUJ, and must be condemned in the strongest manner. We hope that those responsible for this indefensible attack on Kevin will be brought to justice.
Right.
Now, that's from the National Union of Journalists, representing many hundreds of journalists in Northern Ireland and many thousands of journalists across the UK.
I've already been through this with my solicitor. He's in breach of the code of conduct.
There are ways of questioning how a journalist behaves.
Oh, really?
Other than surrounding them and sitting in the middle of the road.
Stephen, do you know that yesterday morning I dropped my children down to school, and my young daughter had a sore ear, and I didn't know whether I was going to keep it off or not. And she just chirped up as soon as I got to the school gates. So I let her go in. And I went, okay, honey, you sure you're going to be fine? Yeah, okay. So I went up, and then I heard you talking on the radio about paedophile hunters. And I thought to myself, right, this is going to be my chance to maybe get the hang of Jim Gamble. I'll try to talk to the guy. So I went up.
Jim Gamble was not on our program.
I know that. I understand that. But I went up to my house, and only for the chance of my daughter feeling better, I would have had my little girl there. And this man comes out. One of them has an absolute ridiculous outfit. And he says to me, at precise words, 1 minute, 1 second into the first video, I'm here to try to make you accountable. Who the f*** do you think you are? Right, as a
that's what an investigative journalist does.
Makes me, and I would dare him to say the same thing to Chief Inspector David McBurney. Now, how
sorry. Kevin is a journalist of decades' experience where he has held the police accountable and authorities accountable. He's one of the most respected journalists in the UK. You understand the role of journalism, don't you?
No. In regards to holding me accountable, accountable to what, Stephen? I'm stunned for a fellow that I, like you yourself, that I followed for absolute ages. This man injected fear, shivered fear into me and my family. I had my mother on the phone, who lives not too far from where I live, in tears on the phone, worried, sick. What would the hell, BBC? She's seen the live. I had my missus on the phone that's seen the live, seen that the BBC reporter was. He didn't know what to do when I turned the tables on him, Stephen.
You do realise that when a journalist is doing a job, that they don't decide what happens. You do realise that there is an editorial team that make decisions, and all Kevin is doing is performing his role as a journalist. Let me ask you this while I have the opportunity to. Paedophile hunter groups themselves, there's much discussion about them. And people are worried that you see yourselves as pseudo-police officers and you see yourselves with power. And you used the word yourself. You used the word power last night. Along the lines of you see the power we have. That was the inference you were making.
Yeah.
This is power, you said. Do you feel powerful and do you think you're entitled to that power?
Hey, there you go. There's power that you're doing.
Do you see yourselves as being powerful when you're undertaking this paedophile hunter group activity?
Stephen, do you see yourself as being powerful when confronting someone at the start of their home? Do you see yourself? Do you feel powerful, Stephen?
I'm trying to widen this into the contemporary current discussion that there is about the type of groups that you support.
Right. Let me ask, did Kevin McGee feel powerful yesterday?
Can we not have a discussion about the hunter groups themselves?
No,
you've criticised me for not bringing you on to do so. Now you've got an opportunity for those people who are worried that you should leave this type of work to the police.
Okay.
That they are trained professionals and you and some of your colleagues are not.
Okay.
What would you say to them?
Right. Wow, this is a conversation that's been long overdue, especially between myself and yourself. What's my stance on paedophile hunting? Why did I start what I started?
Why do you still support it?
Why do I support it? People may do things and methods that I wouldn't do personally myself. But at the end of the day, if they're out there and they're getting convictions, which will happen, and make no doubt about it, it will happen, this glorification that convictions haven't took place due to paedophile hunting evidence, that's going to change very, very soon.
Well, the vast majority of the cases, the police tell us, the evidence is so inappropriate for a court of law.
Really?
That of over 100 cases that paedophile hunter groups in Northern Ireland have brought to them, there are only 3 that could be even passed to the Public Prosecution Service for consideration.
You know what, Stephen?
So can we calmly discuss whether you think that that is the best way of putting... Look, this we can agree on. Child abusers and paedophiles, they should be incarcerated as soon as we can. Mm-hmm. But do you really... Have you not stood back and thought about that, what the police are saying? That the evidence is so tainted because of the court process that the success rate is very, very low. What about those who feel that what you should do is leave that type of very complicated investigative work to the lawful authorities?
Well, you know what, Stephen? When I started up, when I started doing paedophile hunting, I was a shadow in the background. I was one of these whispers in the wind. No one knew this entity, James O'Neill. No one knew who this guy was. I took down 6 individuals in a 10-day period. And each one of them, right, not just bear with me. The reason it doesn't work with the police. I've already tried that route. I give every single one of my cases to the police from the beginning. If I was about fame, if I was about aggression or anything like that, ruthless methods or the way this vigilante thing, that vigilantes are doing illegal activities. Again, I was never arrested, so I'm not a vigilante.
If it's not about fame, why are the videos posted online?
It's pure and utter devastation to the person's life. Did I see myself as judge, jury, and executioner? Absolutely I did. I am not there for the pretty blue lights coming round the corner. I am never, ever there, nor was any of my colleagues ever there. They knew my methods. They knew what I stood for.
But why do you feel you have an entitlement to be a judge, jury, and executioner?
Because if this...
But where have you got that sense of entitlement from?
Myself, and myself as a parent, and the fact that the system are failing so many children out there. If you have any idea the amount of backing in Northern Ireland I have, Stephen, any idea, the people that you do not let on your radio show, the people that you don't mention, the followers, 250,000 of them that I had on Silent Justice before I shut its doors, you have no idea the amount of people that back what we do.
Well, there are some inaccurate statements there. First of all, I actually have acknowledged on air that there was support for the paedophile hunter groups. Secondly, you say that we didn't let them on air. That is untrue. They have been on the radio shows at various times, and this is a contemporary discussion. As that you can understand why, the police, the authorities, and many citizens, though, may be concerned about what's the checks and balances on people like you. Like, who is scrutinising your processes?
I never done this for the police, mate.
No, you misunderstand the question. The point is that you're still approaching members of society, making accusations about them and broadcasting that live on the internet. So in that type of case, surely you can agree with me that there therefore needs to be checks and balances on people like you and paedophile hunter groups, so that innocent people don't have false accusations made about them. So that you don't go too far.
That's interesting.
And that's why we have authorities who investigate crime.
Are you talking about my conduct last night?
No. I'm talking about a wider discussion about the paedophile hunter groups.
Oh, right.
Clearly, that's why we have authorities in this country. Because there are people to hold them to account, and they have a rule book through which they have to abide.
There is only one thing that these individuals are afraid of. One thing. And if you watch any of my things back, you watch even the things that will take place this week, okay? Any of these other teams around Northern Ireland, there's only one thing these individuals fear, is that bright light of a torch shining in their face that exposes the wee dark corner they're in preying on our children. Now, this whole thing about...
Well, hold on a moment. Okay, so this is a rational conversation now, okay?
Okay.
But what you're saying is they're frightened of their activity, their criminal paedophile activity being made public.
Mm-hmm.
But once someone is charged and then successfully prosecuted by the police, that is public knowledge.
Oh, of course.
So that is in the public domain. Yeah. So why not leave it to the police?
Because the police are incompetent. The police are that. There is no due process. There is nothing. The police are not there. The establishment doesn't work. It will never, ever work.
Well, obviously the police would have a different view.
Well, you know what, personally, Stephen, I never cared one iota. I was never there for the police. My mission on any of my things, and I made this abundantly clear, so many times, and I'll do it again with yourself right now. My mission on this thing is one thing, to destroy every single part of this human being's life before he gets out of my sight and into a police car. And I will do that because they are there to destroy a child. Will I take pleasure in it? You better believe it. I will have a glass of wine and celebrate the torture that this man's going through. You try to rape a child, I'm coming for you, and I don't give a flying what I have to do, who I have to go through, what door I have to knock, because if you are in someone's house and you're harboring in there, or someone's harboring you in there, I am coming for you. I don't care what the police do. They're going to give you 2 years suspended sentence, 10 years on the register. I could care less. I am there to destroy your life so your job's gone, your family don't want to know you, everything you knew is gone. That's what you take from a raped child.
Who gave you the? Who appointed you?
Oh, me.
Who has decided that you're competent enough to do that fairly, rational enough, calm enough?
So I have to go through. I have to go through examinations to someone sitting behind a desk and tell me. Now, these are the incompetent ones that are failing the children.
When you listen to yourself, do you think you're a calm, rational human being?
Well, let me put it this way, Stephen. You've seen most things.
What did you make last week, last month, of the case of mistaken identity?
You see, this is the thing, right? We're talking about mistaken identity. But, if a policeman arrests the wrong person, you never see it in the papers, do you?
Well, it's not published live on Facebook.
Oh, it's published in the newspapers. You know, when it's a guy that goes into prison for 20-odd years or something he hasn't done, gets a
What did you make of the case of mistaken identity? Does it not make you sit back and think,
well, here's the
this
thing.
Is wrong, this is dangerous?
One thing I will give you, right? One thing I will give, right? And since the day in R I started, and trust me, when I started in this, it was a lonely place. It was a lonely, lonely place. I fought the PSNI tooth and nail. And me and you both know that 3 days after my first thing, the man took his life. And ever since then, I shouted to the high heavens. And I spoke to Chris Moore about it, and only for it being aired, did the PSNI's PPU unit, did they or did they not put that man through a mental health evaluation? Or did they nonchalant, non-caring, release him on bail as they always
do? Anybody through a mental health evaluation when you confront an individual and surround them?
When I'm chatting to these individuals, I see the true them. I see the real them.
The unqualified you is interpreting that.
Well, apparently now, you say, well, here's the thing. Obviously, the qualified people, the established people, are not exactly doing the correct job, are they?
Listen, thank you for speaking to me today.
Indeed, Stephen. Pleasure.
Thank you.